Welcome to the Assembling Inclusion Podcast. On this show, we feature different programs, individuals, and initiatives focused on being more inclusive of individual needs. We invite you to learn right alongside us. If you want some additional resources or access to our courses, please visit our website or follow us on social media. But for right now, let's get right to the episode. Social emotional learning, or SEL, is a huge topic of conversation within education that has really come into the spotlight since the pandemic. By the CASEL definition, SEL is, quote, the process through which all young people and adults acquire and apply knowledge, skills, and attitudes to develop healthy identities, manage emotions, achieve personal and collective goals, feel and show empathy, establish and maintain relationships, and make responsible and caring decisions. Today, we are going to be talking about a game that focuses on SEL specifically for neurodivergent youth ages 10 to 15. Social Cypher is a platform made by and for the neurodivergent community that uses game-based elements and storytelling in its main game, AVA, to teach students about SEL skills both in the classroom or in a counseling setting. In this episode, we interviewed Vanessa Castañeda-Gil, who is the CEO of Social Cypher. We had a great conversation about the components of the game, the way it is designed and applies feedback from players, and the value this game has had on neurodivergent representation. So let's dive right in. Welcome back to the Assembly Inclusion Podcast. I'm here today with Vanessa Castañeda-Gil, the CEO of Social Cypher. We're going to be talking all about Social Cypher, which focuses on SEL games that represent and empower neurodivergent youth. So, Vanessa, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Katie. I'm really excited to be here.
And I'm so excited to hear more about Social Cypher and about AVA, but I wanted to know, what was the inspiration for starting to create Social Cypher, and more specifically, your flagship game, AVA?
The reason we started this, or that I guess I came up with the idea for it, started with my own diagnoses. So when I was 14, I was diagnosed with ADHD and autism. I had a really difficult time, especially as a girl on spectrum, just understanding what that meant for me and my own identity. I mean, we're already trying to figure it out at that age. And I think that just made it way more complex. And especially with the representation out there, it was mostly, you know, white boys that were cold and calculating and robotic. And I was like, all right, I guess that's me. I guess I'm just going to be this like solitary calculating savant. And I cannot apparently emotionally connect with people. So I'm not even going to try because I don't want to face that failure. And so I tried that. Of course, that did not work because you need community and you need to connect with people. And so I fell into a lot of mental health issues. I was just very ashamed of my diagnoses. I hid them for 6 years from the ages of 14 to almost 21. And I ended up going into college to be a neuroscience researcher. And I majored in neuro, did research for 4 years there. And in that time, I started to not only fall in love with neuroscience, but also kind of like fall in love with the friends I had around me and realize that there were ways I could connect, even though it was maybe different. And so with this newfound community and confidence, I just realized that I had never been a broken person. I was just trying to fit myself into some mold that I wasn't. And I just did things differently. I kind of put that personal experience together with my own research experience, started talking to some of my closest friends and opening up about this thing I had hidden for 6 years. And that's really when it all started. And it started at first as this contraption lab simulation. It developed into VR after that, like after many trials and errors. And we started testing with this young girl named Ava. And she was wonderful, just reminded me a whole lot of me when I was younger. And I just kind of thought, I don't want her to ever have the self-esteem issues and the shame in herself that I had. And so I need to do something about it. So we wrote a story about her and inspired by her, and she loved video games. And so we were like, video game, there we go, let's do it. And that all happened for the best.
Oh, that's really great. I didn't realize that Ava was named after an actual person. I just kind of thought it was a name that was kind of pulled at random. That's a really nice story. And I'm sure that's incredible to have that type of representation. That was one of the things that drew me
to it, I was like, wow, this is really amazing just from a representation perspective, because there's not a lot of A, female representation out there, like you had mentioned, and B, in general, I think that there's always that lack of representation for students. So that's really incredible.
Yeah, it's huge.
Was there any other factors that contributed to the actual decision to make a gamification process for teaching the SEL skills?
Well, at the time, you know, we were a bunch of college kids and we were like, what's the easiest thing we can make? And so it was 2D games. That was what we knew. And I also think that we all have this passion for games and story and media. And that was just a huge factor in all of our lives. And we realized that those stories and those gameplay mechanics and the power of the role play, the story, and the gaming just all comes together in a really empowering way. And we realized that that was just the right medium. Doing some kind of simulation would have felt like work. It wouldn't have felt like something that you can really, truly immerse yourself in and feel inspired by. And we wanted to create that inspiration and that authentic representation. And we felt the best way to do that was through a role-playing game.
That is perfect. I was a special education teacher for a number of years. And so I saw firsthand how powerful the video games were. And you're right. I think a simulation, my students would have been like, oh, I have to go through this. Yeah. But a game, like, it's engaging. There's a storyline. They're interested and they're learning those skills as like a sideline. But it's almost like sometimes you forget about that because you're so invested in the game. So I could see how that was a good choice. So one of the things that had stood out to me when I was looking up Social Cypher was that on the website, it had mentioned that Ava specifically was co-created with the autistic community. Can you talk about that process of how you actually went about designing the game-based learning component of Ava?
Before we even started with writing the stories, making all of the actual games, we were constantly speaking with various parts of the neurodivergent community. So we were speaking to neurodivergent adults being like, what did you wish you learned? Or what did you wish you knew when you were in our target age range, 10 to 15 years old? And we would talk to professionals, counselors, therapists, teachers, parents, neurodivergent youth themselves. And we just really wanted to learn like what the hardest things were to teach, what was hardest to learn and understand. And that's really what got us going. And then we brought on amazing, amazing experts in game design. And also, I'm really proud to say, like, we have all of our educational experts on the team are neurodivergent themselves, which is amazing. And our team as a whole is 50% neurodivergent. And I think that that is huge when it comes to the development of these games and just how authentically we come through, because we've been there, we have that lived experience. So the process of how this is all designed is, yes, it starts with our community, asking them all those questions. And then we come together with our educational experts, the whole production team comes together, and we ask, all right, what is our theme? And it is going to be an overarching social emotional learning theme for the whole episode based on the community's needs. So the first one we did was all about trust, because we saw that the community really needed help on showing their youth how to build trust with others, how to recognize who is trustworthy, how to trust, how to just recognize trust in themselves and realize that those thoughts were important. That's what we went with. You start with that theme. And then after that, we have our super talented narrative writers go and just write an amazing blue sky story about Ava, the characters within it, and just the adventures she goes on. And then exiting pre-production, we get down to the work of actually weaving things in. So you take the social emotional learning experts, they bring in all the concrete skills from things like Castle and building blocks for learning and from their own practice and experiences. They'll weave that into the narrative. And then our gameplay experts will build the gameplay that has to go along with the narrative. So if you are going through a dark cave and you need coping strategies to navigate through that cave, the art team and our game production team will build the code and the art that's needed to bring that vision and that story to life. And then we go through lots and lots of testing with some wonderful neurodivergent youth across the country. And
I love how all the different teams come together within that design process. You could really see how everybody's voices and expertise is heard within the design from start to finish. I was watching videos on the different gameplay. So I noticed that there were different types of quests that Ava went on throughout the process of the game. And one of them I saw was like, how would you respond in this type of situation? What other types of like quests and activities does Ava get to go on, or do the students get to go on, I should say?
To break it down, our game runs on these two core pillars of design. One of them is our platforming. So think Super Mario Brothers gameplay. You're jumping around, you're using a grappling hook to get around the world. That is really important when it comes to keeping players engaged. It also contains a lot of representational elements throughout the gameplay. That's one side of our gameplay. The other side is what you're mentioning, the dialogue. So our dialogue system is really cool. It breaks down all these different complex social situations into different choices. And each of those choices that players make can have hundreds of branching different outcomes. And so just like a regular real conversation, there are many different ways it can go depending on what you say and choose. And we give the players free rein and free choice on that because there's always an opportunity to try it again and grow from it. So those are the two sides of it. The way that the narrative is set up, it all centers our autistic protagonist, Ava. She is a 12-year-old star mapper with bright pink hair and a trusty space dog companion. And she goes around the galaxy, starting off with her Captain Red Braid, to go and recruit or not recruit various pirates around a planet called Space Tortuga. The next episodes coming after that and all of our curriculum following is all about the adventures she takes with her crew and the community she finds along the way.
That's really awesome. I love the fact that you had said there were hundreds of options for what the player chooses, because I think so often in like simulated environments, it's like a one or two. Like you could say this or this, and like these are the two outcomes, which isn't the reality of a conversation. There are a lot of different ways that somebody can interpret something. And then also having it be the gamified piece is nice because maybe it doesn't work out the way you intended, but it's just a game character. So you could play that over again and see, you know, how does the response change, which I think is really, really great and something that a lot of SCL curriculums might be lacking.
I think that especially for the neurodivergent community, having right or wrong answers, just like one or two, like you said, that can be harmful. And that can perpetuate this idea of having these very rigid social rules, which there really are not. Like these conversations are fluid. There are so many different circumstances and contexts for every conversation you go through, especially when you're approaching middle school and high school. And so for us, it really is about the fact that there is no right or wrong answer. There are just some that are going to build more towards relationships and others that, you know, may create a little more distance. But there's always a way to work back.
I think that's a great way of designing it. I think that's really impactful. So I saw you had had a pilot for Ava with, I think it was 16 different schools and therapy centers. So based on those pilot experiences, what did you see as the benefits for students who were involved in that gameplay, as opposed to maybe students who were going through more traditional curriculum-based SEL lessons? What feedback have you gotten from that pilot specifically?
From that pilot, one of the really exciting results we had was that 94% of professionals, and in this case, it was teachers and therapists, found that Ava actually enhanced their therapy in classroom sessions. And that was for two reasons. It appeared that students were more engaged in learning social emotional learning, and that they were more motivated to learn social emotional skills, which was huge to see. We also had that 100% of kids wanted to keep playing, which as a former educator, you know, is very hard to do. I think just anecdotally, things just were so exciting to see. There were a lot of instances where kids lit up because they realized that they were seeing on screen and on their gameplay that someone was thinking and doing things the way that they did. And they could relate to the way that Ava shut down, or the way that Ava was having sensory difficulties, or that she was taking time to recharge. All of that was just so important for them to see and realize that it's normal. And I think that was huge. And I think the other thing that we saw was students were opening up more than before to their teachers and counselors, and felt more, a little more comfortable talking about social emotional concepts, because it felt like it was a game, it was characters, it was a story they really liked. And they were able to kind of be once removed from role play, where they didn't feel so vulnerable and they felt sort of a layer of safety, but they were able to still express themselves through their choices they made as Ava.
That's a really great point. I didn't even think about that. I know a lot of SEL lessons now that are being done in schools are like, let's just sit in a group and talk about our experiences, which can be challenging. I know I personally would not have been a fan of having to talk about myself, but when you're thinking about through the context of like, I'm playing as Ava, who I can relate to, I do see how that would be a little bit easier than for the students to talk about their experiences, because you're talking about it maybe through the context of what you did as the character, and then eventually maybe leading into your discussion of you personally. And the 100% engagement rate is huge, because that like rarely happens with anything, especially with middle schoolers. So that's amazing. And then from the adult perspective, I had seen that there's like a companion app that teachers or counselors could use to track student progress. How does that work?
We originally created our companion app because of COVID. So, you know, everyone was doing telehealth, they're teaching remotely. And we wanted to be able to create an experience where folks could still play Ava together while not being in the same room. And so the companion application has now developed into this kind of one-stop shop. It's where teachers and counselors can find curriculum. It's where they store their student and client profiles and can track session times. And it's also where they can stream gameplay remotely and watch their youth play, pause their sessions, help out with different controls and with different settings. It's just another way for them to engage remotely. And the exciting thing is that people have been finding use from it. And so we're actually developing a new feature for the companion application that'll be coming at some point. And it's called the dialogue tree. Essentially, it's going to be a way for teachers and counselors to look at the different dialogue choices a client or student made or didn't make within the game and be able to actually see that map and understand the trajectory of their conversations and how it was going and have discussions about that.
Oh, that's really exciting. There's so much in that app in general, even just the aspect of being able to watch in real time what the students are doing. I know from teaching middle school, like they did not want to be hovered over.
Yeah.
So understandably, but the ability to see still what they're doing and then offer support as opposed to like having to physically go over and watch them participate in the game while they're engaged in the game. That's really nice. Not being able to watch their growth and progress too, and see how they're progressing and the choices that they're making. That's pretty awesome that's coming. It's coming soon. I can see a lot of teachers and counselors wanting that type of feature. I did want to ask about schools in particular, and how have schools been integrating it? So like, is it more in small group sessions? Is it like classrooms where students are working on it in a station?
We designed this product to be as flexible as possible for the way that teachers and counselors work. So for classrooms, there are quite a few ways that folks have been really creative that even we didn't think about. So one way is, of course, you know, in small groups, there'll be 2 to 3 students each playing Ava. It'll be introduced with one of our curriculum activities. They'll do the group activity and then they'll come back for a discussion. So that's one way it's been used. It's also been used as homework. So, you know, curriculum, then going home and playing it, and then coming back to discuss it as a group. And then the last way it's also been used is that the teacher themselves will play in front of the entire classroom, or they'll pick a student to play in front. And it becomes this kind of classroom-wide debate of, all right, which choice do we pick? Who do we recruit? Should we reject this pirate? And it really just becomes this super fun and engaging way, and like slightly competitive, right? Just figure out the right way to navigate these situations and just really understand perspectives and discuss. So those are the main ways. And I think the other bonus too, and the cool thing about us being a small team, is that we love working with schools on this. There are a lot of times where if we're working with a teacher or a classroom, we'll ask for feedback, we'll ask for bug fixes. And so these students kind of feel like game designers or critics in themselves. And so it gives them that power as well of being like, oh, I'm the expert here on this game. And they will let loose on the feedback, and we love it. We really pride ourselves on being respectful of and truly taking in the feedback of every student that has it and that wants to share with us.
That's really empowering, because I mean, so often tech companies and organizations are focused on the adult feedback, like, what do the teachers think? What do the counselors think? But I like that you're going right to the students. Yeah, my middle schoolers always had strong opinions about things and had no shame about telling me their opinions, which is great, because that's the most honest feedback you could ask for. That's great that you're going directly to the students to see, to test things out and to get their perspective. When I was teaching, and this was in the middle of the pandemic, when we were coming back to school, we had like SEL time, which was student journaling, which my students hated. And it ended up being just a discussion anyway. They were like, I don't want to write about myself in this journal, but they would have loved to play the game, or even as a group, that would have been so perfect to play like as a team and discuss. That would have been so much more beneficial. I did see that you have had a lot of accolades and awards for Ava and Social Cypher so far, which is really incredible. But what do you think have been the biggest successes of the game from your perspective?
I have one joke, but isn't actually a joke because we are really proud of it. And I have one serious, heartfelt one. So the first one, one of the actual biggest successes is the fact that in multiple classrooms now, we have been able to get like the quote unquote coolest kid in the room that like doesn't care about anything to be like, this is cool. It doesn't suck. I kind of like it. Like getting that feedback of it doesn't suck from a jaded 12-year-old is the best thing we could ask for. So I think that like in all honesty, that's a huge success for us. The other more serious heartfelt thing that makes me just super excited to do my job every day is just the fact that like I am able to now pass on to this next generation of kids this thing that I so hugely needed as a neurodivergent kid growing up, and being able to give that back and pass it on, and to know that we're doing a good thing for these kids and helping them embrace their identity and love who they are early on. That's something I would have wanted so much and would have needed so much as a 12-year-old, a 14-year-old. And the fact that I'm able to play a small part in that is just huge.
Both of those are excellent. Anytime that student liked anything, it was, and there's always one in every class.
Yep.
That's a real testament to how great the game actually is. But then also, obviously, the representation. I was always trying to find like textual, because we were teaching reading, like characters who they could see themselves in. And it was such a struggle for the girls in particular, because there is not really anything out there. So that's great that there are so many students now that are going to come up with representation and, like you said, feel comfortable with their identity and, you know, can own who they are and see themselves reflected. I did want to ask, I always like to ask about future expansions. So I know on your website, there have been a couple of future developments or things in progress, but what types of expansions and updates can we expect from either Ava or Social Cypher in the future?
So there are 10. If you are going to South by Southwest EDU, I will be there on two panels. That is from March 6th to 9th. So that's one thing. The other thing is that you should probably follow our social media, which is at Social Cypher, because during Neurodiversity Celebration Week, which is starting March 13th, we will have a chance to try out Ava in a way we have never released to people before. So that will be huge. So do not miss that. And then we also are going to have a brand new mode of gameplay, which is coming out in April. I cannot talk too much about it, but it will have a lot more creativity and self-expression coming out. Don't want to miss that. And then the last thing is we are adding a whole bunch of new curriculum and free activities and resources to our account hub. It is all free. And you can sign up for that at socialcyphergame.com, cypher with an I. And if you make a free account, you can actually get all those resources for your classroom or therapy center. And they all involve Ava, and they're all wonderful.
I'm so excited to hear about, I'm following all of your accounts now on social media, but if I'm not, I'm going to make sure I am across all platforms because I want to know what's coming. And for all our listeners, I'm going to make sure to link those social profiles in the show notes. That way that you can just go right in and make sure that you're following to get those updates. But I'm really excited to hear about everything that's coming because, I mean, so much has been done so far with Social Cypher and Ava. So I'm excited to see what's coming next. But I want to thank you so much, Vanessa, for being here with us today and for telling us all about Ava and Social Cypher. And I really enjoyed our conversation. So I'm so grateful that you're able to join us today.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so fun.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Assembling Inclusion Podcast. I hope the information in this episode taught you something new, gave you a new idea, or showcased a new perspective. If you liked the episode, feel free to leave us a review or comment. If you have a recommendation for an individual or an organization who would make a great guest, you can message us on Twitter or Instagram, or send us an email at assemblinginclusion@gmail.com. See you next time.